It is a real joy for me to be back in Grand Rapids and sharing on this day. Thank you for giving your time to this subject that we all love. And I pray that this will be a day where we all feel some renewal and new energy for the task and privilege of sharing the gospel. Listen now for the word of God as I read from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord of God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and to bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, as we break open your word, let it be for us as bread broken open and wine poured out, that we may feed on your word and be nourished and strengthened for our tasks, so that we may leave this place empowered by your Holy Spirit for the ministries that so often wear us down. This we pray in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Ezekiel was a preacher's kid. He lived with the remnant people of Israel on the banks of the river Kabar, and he had visions. He had visions that God gives life. The first vision that he had was while he was still in prophet school. It was a vision of his call to ministry. His second vision was again while he was in prophet school, and this vision was of Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem. It was a place that he would have liked to be called to. There were a lot of people in his prophet's class who wanted to be settled in Jerusalem. Until God showed him the wayward practices of Israel, the injustice that was being done to their neighbors, the dishonesty among the people, the destruction that they had led themselves into. The third vision is the vision that we are looking at today. And this is a vision where God takes him to his first church in ministry after he's graduated from prophet school. God takes him to the Valley of the Dry Bones. Ezekiel knew it wasn't going to be easy. God had already told him that through a vision that he was going to be serving a rebellious people. Mortal, I'm sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They are a rebellious house. Ezekiel still was not ready for what he saw when God led him over the rim of that valley, and he looked down into it, because as far as he could see, wherever he looked, were bones. It was a nice valley, as valleys go. Gentle slope, pleasing prospects. But all he could see was dry bones. Everywhere God toured him were bones. Where the church was supposed to be, just a pile of bones. Where the graveyard was next to the church, just bones. Where the fields were, all bones. He tried to put on a positive attitude. He said, well, God, if you're going to have me settled in a church, this is certainly a nice dry climate. After a silence, he ventured, well, God, there doesn't seem to be much life in this church. Do you think that maybe we got here a little late? First impressions do make a difference. But God said to Ezekiel, mortal, these bones are your people. Get to know them. Love them. You're to minister to these. We don't know all the details of Ezekiel's first week. He went to the board meeting, and everyone kind of lay around. Like they had seen it all before. They had a kind of show me attitude. He went to the choir. And, well, you know, there were some positive things to be said about it. A good number showed up. But they just didn't articulate well. There was no real enunciation. And there was no real volume either. It was more like the sound of wind blowing across teeth. He went to his first funeral, but he had difficulty discerning who was the deceased. There was a woman who came over from another valley. She didn't have a home, and she was coming to their homeless program. She expected a warm welcome, but she only received one handshake, and it was such an icy, bony affair that she fled the frigid welcome. After 1 week, Ezekiel was discouraged. And God said to him, "Mortal, mortal, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel didn't even have to think about it. He said, "No, God, these bones cannot live. These bones are dead. What's more, they are very dead. They're dry bones, very dry bones. No, these bones cannot live. Hope has taken a vacation. Due date is done. All is finished." Some of us know how he felt. It seems like everywhere we look today, there are dry bones. I was looking in USA Today yesterday, and on the front page, there was an article about the declining middle class. There was a reference to a man who was a car salesman in Reno, Nevada. And he was, in 2005, he was earning $90,000. And then his salary went down to $70,000, and then $30,000. And just last year, the car business that he was working for collapsed. Now he and his wife have moved in with his mother-in-law, who lives in a trailer. On every page of that newspaper, there was some reference to the terrible economy. Mortal, can these bones live? In Japan, they're still identifying hot spots of radiation from the Fukushima nuclear disaster. And we've learned that some of the safety officials for 15 years have been making false reports. Mortal, can these bones live? We all succumb to dry bones from time to time when our skeletons run short of energy, compassion, love, sympathy. A whole lot of churches have a brand new sign out in front of them, right on the main street. Valley of the Dry Bones Church. It's almost like there's a new denomination across the lands. Valley of the Dry Bones Church. It's these churches are either dead or drying. Instead of having a cross at the top of a steeple, it's as though they have a big drying wick. And you can almost hear the moisture being sucked out of those churches as the arid wind blows. Mortal, can these bones live? Ezekiel stood in the place of dry bones. The fact that God gives life was the furthest thing from his mind. His church was dead. He said, "This has been very interesting, God. These bones are dry, very dry. I get that. So why did you bring me here?" And God said to him, "These are the bones of Israel, my beloved people. They've gone astray to their destruction, and I brought you here to speak about your faith. I brought you here to share the gospel of my saving love. I brought you here to preach to these people in word and in deed." Ezekiel said, well, I'm to preach to these people. I could have preached to a whole crowd of living people back home, but practice preaching is good. This is like practice preaching, isn't it, God? I mean, it's a valley of dry bones, after all. But practice preaching is good. There's always room for improvement. You know, it gives me an opportunity to project my voice and to speak from the lower larynx and to breathe from the diaphragm. It's practice preaching is good. I like that. But is there something that you wanted me to say to these people? And God said, well, yes, there is. I want you to treat these people as my people and as your congregation. I want you to give them my love. That's why they're lying around here. They haven't heard about my love. They haven't received my saving power. I want you to speak the word that they are hungry for. I want you to tell them that they are loved. Give them the gospel of my saving love. Tell them that this is no time to be lying around. There's plenty of good things to be done. Tell them I need them. Tell them I want them. Tell them I love them. Tell them I miss them. Oh, you know what to do, Ezekiel. Just do whatever those good folks in prophet school taught you to do. There was no arguing with God. The words that Ezekiel said that day, he could say today. He stood in front of those bones, a little self-conscious. After all, it's not easy to preach to dry bones, especially with God being in the audience, with God doing the evaluating. But he stood there and he cleared his throat and he looked out and he tried to establish as much eye contact as was possible, given the limited circumstances. And then he said, oh, dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. Now is the appointed hour. Now is the appointed minute. Come to life. Come to God. God gives life. God calls you to life. It's time to get your act together. Come and feed on the word. Put some flesh on those bones. Put some muscle into it. Come to life. Come to God. But we don't know what else he said. But he did say those words, and he was not prepared for what happened next. Because no sooner had he witnessed to his faith, no sooner had he witnessed to his faith than he heard a sound like 10,000 African rain sticks. You know those rain sticks that make all that rattling sound? There was all this rattling and clacking as the bones came together, assembling, each one finding its own place, and sinews came on the bones, and muscles, and flesh appeared, and eyes, they shone, and teeth got a new gleam. It was amazing. It was a beautiful sight. People filled the whole valley, but not one of them moved. Tell them to breathe, Ezekiel. They need my spirit. And so Ezekiel still reeling from the effect of his preached word, still reeling from the fact that his preached word had an effect, said, "Sisters and brothers, God gives life. On the count of three, big breath in. One, two, two and a half." And a sound filled that valley like 10,000 balloons being filled with helium. And those people breathed in, and they stood up, and they started moving. Their lips started moving, and their eyes focused and blinked, and they moved their limbs and started clapping their hands and clapping their hands over their heads, and they started stomping their feet like they were that Irish River Dance Company. They were glad to be alive. God had given them life. They were celebrating the life that God had given. God gives life. God gives life. God had not forgotten them. When you leave this place today, that is the life that you bring to your people. Whatever your ministry is, whether it's preaching from a pulpit, or whether it's in the workplace, or whether it's at home, when you share the gospel, that is the life that you bring. What about you yourself? Is there some dead place in your life? Some place where the bones are dry and rubbing together? Some place where you need hope? Perhaps you have fear for yourself or your partner or your daughter or your friend. Perhaps your concern is for the poor of this world, who suffer so greatly. These times seem like good times for dry bones and bad times for the church. But in fact, this is the best of times to share our faith. There are so many dry bones wanting to come to life, needing the life that God gives. This is the best time to share the gospel. God empowers us to say, even to our own bones, "Now hear the word of the Lord." It's a wonderful thing to speak of God's liberation and freedom. To say, "Rise up, be free, the power of death is done," knowing that it's true. We don't have to feel comfortable in our witness. We just have to plant a seed. We don't have to be responsible for what happens to the seed. We just have to plant it and trust the Holy Spirit to do the growing. But what if it doesn't work? What if you proclaim the word of the Lord and nothing happens? Or perhaps worse, what if the Spirit does what is promised? The gospel is subversive. Life is going to change. Things won't be the same. What happens with the word that we share is up to God, not up to us. God empowers us to share the gospel. And God can take even a timid stalk of grass and make it sing with beauty. And God can take our timid dry bones and make our witness into a hallelujah chorus, a foot stomping, body gyrating dance of praise. What if Jesus had not dared to say to Lazarus, "Bones, come to life, come out of the cold"? Lazarus would not have come out of the cold. Jesus knew that God gives life. When he climbed up on the cross and stretched out his arms, he looked out on the world, the valley of the shadow of death that is this earth, and he said, "Dry bones have life." He proclaimed with his whole body and dared to look the fool, yet God gives life now and in the life to come. We don't always know the effect of our witness. A woman recently received a note from her dentist. She thought that it was maybe a reminder that she needed her teeth to be cleaned, but the full period of time hadn't elapsed yet. She opened the note from the dentist and was surprised to receive a thank you note. And the dentist had written there, "You could not have known that I was going through a rough time in my life when you were in last. When you were telling me about the great sadness in your own life, I asked you what keeps you going. And you said, when everything around you looks like death, expect resurrection." That's what this faith journey is all about. We plant seeds. God saw that our dry bones don't dance so well, that our foot bones aren't really connected with our head bones. And so God at Christmas became flesh and bone. At Good Friday it became very dry bones for us. At Easter said, "Now hear the word of the Lord." At Pentecost sent the Spirit that binds us into the community that we were intended to be. And on this day, right now, God gives us dancing shoes to dance on the grave of death. It's because God gives life. God gives life. What a great thing. Amen.